Father, here this night, once again, we just come before you. Lord God, we approach your presence, your throne of grace, with a boldness here this night to find grace and mercy in our time of need. And I pray, Lord, for those tuning in, those watching, my God, even those that will tune in a little bit later. Lord, my prayer is once again that you open hearts. My prayer is once again, as your word says, that every house, your house, should be called a house of prayer for all nations. I ask that you dwell, Holy Spirit, that you invade every house, every home, every person, every heart, every mindset, Lord God, that you clear away as we worship, that you empty us, Lord, that you may fill us here this night, fill us of you, of your word, by your presence, Lord. Father, bless this night. Bless everyone watching in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go ahead and give a shout here this night, right there in your very own houses. Amen. Praise God. Once again, we just want to welcome you, and worship team, we thank you here this night. Amen. How many are ready here this night, and how many are grateful? I just want to thank the worship team again for leading us into that area of worship, and I'm just grateful that we could still worship the Lord. Amen. How many like worshiping Jesus? Praise the Lord. I don't know if you're watching, standing up, but you can have your seats here this night, and why don't we just get into it? I know there's a couple of people that are logged in, but how many came ready with your Bibles, your notepads, to receive, to follow along, and to take notes? Amen. Let's show ourselves approved, the Bible says. It's a scripture that says to show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God. So I challenge you right there where you're at to come with a Bible and a notepad and allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. Amen. How many are just ready here this night? Go ahead and type amen, type hallelujah. Amen. For the Lord to move within your life and to speak into our lives, into our situation. How many are just waiting for the word of God to speak to us, to guide us? Amen. So I hope to do that here this night. And I just want to always thank the Lord for my salvation. I got saved a little bit around 10 years ago. And I always say, I counted like really 8 years that I've been here in Milwaukee, that the Lord has done a tremendous move within my life as I surrendered myself to the purpose and calling of God. I always want to just thank my family right now, my wife, amen, for being there with me. And I'm currently still directing our Victory Homes, amen. So I'm just want to throw a shout out for our Victory Homes that are remaining faithful right there in position. And I also just want to thank my pastor and also his family, the Reino family. Here this night, I want to thank my pastor, who's always remained loyal, amen, to the ministry. And those watching, everyone here, amen. How many know we're a family in Victory Outreach Milwaukee? Amen. I just want to thank everyone who's here and those tuning in. But right now, let's just get into it. I titled this message, A Time to Build by Doing the Right Thing. A Time to Build by Doing the Right Thing. I think that's the title of my message. I think I changed it like 20 times as I was putting it together. So this is the one that came up, A Time to Build by Doing the Right Thing. Let's go ahead and read a portion of scripture, and then I'm going to share a little bit here this night. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and I'm going to share this story. It's a story that I read, that I came across as I was reading there my morning devotion time, and I shared a little bit on our Wednesday prayer. But I want to bring out really a lot of attributes that kind of pertains to where we're at here this night. So if you're tuning in, I know you can see the scriptures. But again, I just want to challenge you and also still make mention to have your Bibles. Get a Bible that's yours, that's personal, that you can say, this is my Bible. I bought this Bible as soon as I came to Milwaukee. I've had it ever since. And to me, it helps me memorize the scriptures and just to know that it's mine. And I ordered another one because now I'm switching over to the New Living Translation. I was the NIV, amen, diehard. But now I've been studying off of the New Living Translation. So the Word of God is valuable. How many can say amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 1, it reads like this. It says, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he stepped into Victory Outreach. Amen, that's what it says. You got to read it between the lines. It says he was 25 years old when he became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. A long time. Tell your neighbor, a very long time. In other words, he remained in position. It says he remained in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. So his family was in the things of the Lord. So families, hear this tonight. What you do is important. Parents, what you do is important. Verse 2, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. How many want to please the Lord? If we play a record of your past week, is it pleasing to the Lord? Or is there things that you say, man, I can't show that. You know, it's none of my business, but it's the Lord's business. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his ancestor David had done. In the very first month, and this is where I get most of my message. In the very first month of the first year, so right away, tell your neighbor, right away, amen. Somebody type right away. He didn't wait, amen. He didn't wait until he graduated the home and make his own plans. I'm going to talk to the home a little bit. He didn't wait and say, okay, well, you know, maybe if they use me, if they allow me to do this. Right away, in the very first month, tells me that when Jesus steps into your life, you don't have to be saved 5, 10, 15, 20 years to be used of the Lord. And here this night, am I speaking to people that want to be used of God? Because if you want to be used of God, the Bible says right away in the very first month, he wasted no time. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was in the world, I didn't like wasting time. Now, much less in Christianity, serving the Lord, I do not like wasting time. How many can agree with me here this night? In the very first month of the first year of his reign, now, this is what he did. Hezekiah, king of Judah, king of a nation, over people, guiding others, being a shepherd, a pastor, a leader, a head of the household. How many men are watching here this night? You have people that depend on you, that you are that man of the household, the Bible says. You are that man in position. Women of God. Now you've been separated for God's glory and honor. Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. I know we prayed. We're going to pray once again. Father, we just come before you one more time. And I simply pray, allow me to communicate this message, Lord God, effectively. And Lord, I ask of your anointing, open hearts, and help us receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. There's seen a movie a long time ago. I forgot the name of it, but all throughout the movie, the guy says, "What is the problem?" He says, "What the problem is?" He says it like that. He says, "What the problem is?" And he gets angry and stuff goes wrong, and he keeps saying, "What the problem is?" Now it's interesting that when we don't really know the problem, we can go around in circles, trying to fix this problem, trying to fix that problem, blaming him or her and this person. Blaming this, blaming the ministry, blaming the pastor. The list goes on and on and on. I like what my pastor always says, that when you point a finger, there's three pointing right back at you. So I've learned to point the finger at myself. In every area, ministry, marriage, a father, a friend, whatever, I've learned to say, well, what can I have done in this area? Now I say that just to make mention that we're all pretty much in the same boat, sort of say, with everything that's still going on, we still can't help but make mention of a pandemic and still can't go. I mean, that's why we're watching via Facebook. Otherwise, you would be here. How many can say amen and say that you would drive all the way here, no matter how late it was, no matter how tired you were? See, now we're thinking a little bit, huh? We're comfortable. We could be right there and we don't have to get ready. We don't have to get dressed up. We don't have to wear dress shoes or skirts and do our hair. Ladies, I don't know when's the last time you did your eyebrows. Amen. But it's things that take into consideration because there is a problem. There is a problem that the world has came to a stop and they've told us what to do, what not to do. You can't gather, do this and wear face masks and all these things. But is that really the problem? Is that really what is going on? Is that really why our lives have been affected? Because I can't help but think that every time I read right here this book that's called the Bible, how many read the Bible here this night. Type amen if you read the Bible. How many love your Bible? How many spend time every day, the Bible says? There's a scripture, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in step with the wicked, or sit in the way that sinners take, or stand in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And they meditate on it every day. And then it goes on to say, they shall be like trees planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season. How many want to have good fruit? Any moment, every time, a fruit of patience, a fruit of love, a fruit of forgiveness. How many need forgiveness or to forgive? Fruit of gentleness. It goes on to say, whatever they do shall prosper. I mean, talk to me here this night. I know I can't hear you, but how many want that whatever you do can prosper? Because the Bible says that that could be you and I if we meditate in the law of the Lord every day. So that's why our Bible is important. That's why spending time with Jesus, that's why spending time with the Lord, and that's what I want to speak about here this night, that I believe a lot of our problems, especially as we see worldwide, really is happening because there's a problem where people are not spending time with the Lord. And here we see within that story, you can read before all the stories of 2 Chronicles and 1 Chronicles. I want to just challenge you here this night to spend some time in your Bible, spend some time in the Word of God. That when you read that, the Old Testament, which is very vital and very important, there's a saying that goes that the old is the new explained and the new is the old contained. So you need both of these to really understand the Bible. You need both really to understand why Jesus had to step into the picture. And so what happens here is Hezekiah, at 25 years old, inherits a kingdom. I believe here this night, how many have inherited a couple of things that we didn't deserve? Come on, talk to me here this night. How many of you inherited your stimulus check and you are grateful? I mean, the Bible says there's a promise scripture, we're going to inherit nations. But to be ready and receive and truly treasure and know what to do, we need to not only remain in position, but we need to learn of what Hezekiah did. Because when he stepped into the picture, and what I like about this story is at 25 years old, which tells me he was young, that there is no excuses. Okay, listen, young people, let me talk to the young people. That there is no excuses that I'm too young and I don't have experience and, well, nobody taught me. And there is no excuses here this night. Hezekiah stepped into an area, and the background story is at that moment the nation of Judah, because the kingdom has gotten split into two. You got to be careful of your actions, because God is a God of consequences. He will judge. He kept warning the children of Israel, if you do this, then I will do that. And because of one man's sin, he split the kingdom in two. You have the northern kingdom that was Israel with Samaria, its capital. And you read about the kings that were mainly just doing bad, worshiping the gods of Baal, going astray, made up their own temple, didn't follow the rules. And you had the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah with Jerusalem, its capital. And you had good kings, bad kings, the majority good kings. And so what we see in this portion of scripture is right before Hezekiah steps in, there was another king that did bad, right? There's that saying that goes, man, he's bad. And they mean it in a good way. No, this person was bad. He was evil. It wasn't a good way. And so what this person did is he left the country in turmoil. Ask me how. How he left the country. He left the country so bad that when Hezekiah stepped in, not only was it in an economic downfall, they were in debt, you can say. They owed, you know, money to China even back then. I think we heard the news. Every time I try to hear the news, we try and tune in. And Trump said that they used $8 trillion. And I thought to myself, what the heck is a trillion, you know? There's thousands and hundreds and millions and billions and trillions. That's a lot of money. But here what we see is when Hezekiah stepped into the throne before him, the king had gone so bad, so wicked, so evil that not only was it an economic downfall, they were in debt. Their army was shattered, totally conquered. by the Assyrian army. They had no army, no nation. Their political areas were destroyed. Their temple worship. Now they went into worshiping idols. That's an area that to this day, some of us, sad to say, we worship idols. We think we're worshiping Jesus, but we give more credit to our job. Can I go there for a little bit? Instead of waking up early for Jesus, we're waking up running to the job, running to him or her, instead of running to the Lord. And I believe that's what gets us in trouble. That's what gets you and I. And we fail to see the true problem. See, Hezekiah stepped into a nation where the nation was just destroyed. It was out of whack. Nobody was serving the Lord. Nobody was talking about God's goodness. And it reminds me of a time that we live in here this night. That the whole nation is in an uproar. No one knows what's happening. The nation is in debt. And all these areas and rumors of war. And all these things going on. But that's really not the problem. And Hezekiah really understood this. Because when he came to the throne at a young age, the first thing that he did is addressed the real problem. And I like what he did because we can learn from this. How many want to learn here this night? I couldn't hear nobody, so you just got to type and I'm pretend that everybody said amen. So he did, and I like what the verse says. It says, in the very first month of the first year of his reign, Hezekiah reopened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. Reminds me of the time we live in, where the government say that you can't gather, you can't go to church, and everybody's scratching their heads and saying, how are we going to get connected? And let's go on Zoom, let's go live, let's meet up, let's go to drive-ins. I mean, if you look at everything that's going on, because the enemy's trying to close the doors of the temple. But my question here this night is, your personal door still open to the Lord? Because what matters really is not this physical temple. As you can see, we're still having church. We're still praising the Lord. I mean, I beg to ask you, did you lift up your hands in the time of worship? I mean, come on now. I'm getting at the home and I'm teaching the home to lift up your hands in worship. I mean, we say we worship God, but we can't lift up our hands. I don't know about you, but I want to be an example to my family. I want to be an example to the men. I want to be an example, not just because, but because of God's goodness. I mean, here this night, I don't know about you, but I know that God has been good to me. And because of that, far be it for me if I fail to lift up my hands in a time of worship, because I know how good my God is. How did I go there? Where am I? The temple of the Lord. Amen? That was for somebody because that's not in my notes. The temple of the Lord was closed. And Hezekiah saw this. He saw the true problem. And I believe too many times we're focusing on the wrong problem. They're focusing and they laid me off. And so what? Go get with Jesus. That's probably the Lord saying, go spend some time with me. You're spending too much time at the job. So listen, a job is good. But that's not your calling. Job is meant to provide simply for what the Lord has for your life. Some of you, you're breaking off relationships and you're getting angry and bitter. Listen, the Lord is the greatest relationship you will ever have. My question is, are the doors to the temple of the Lord open in your personal life? Because, I mean, we can't open the doors to you right now. If we wanted to, we would get arrested and go to jail. But it doesn't stop from you opening the doors and allowing Jesus in. I said this last time, but I mean, there's nothing stopping us from having church even after this live session right now. You can go and get your family, go back into prayer. But we don't do that. And that's the problem. We go back to our lives, back to normal. And the doors of the temple are closed. The doors of the temple, even of you and I. And Hezekiah understood this, coming to a kingdom at a young age, see, what I like about this story is he had all the reason really to have an excuse. He could have said, well, my father didn't teach me that area. I mean, how many can really relate and say, well, you know, my dad really didn't teach me those areas. I'm grateful, My dad showed me how to work hard. He taught me ethics and morals, but I never knew Jesus. But I'm still grateful, and it didn't stop me really from going forward. Hezekiah could have made an excuse, and he could have said, well, this ain't my fault. Why do I have to fix this problem? This is not my problem. That's his problem, and I don't care this happened, and that's not my area. And I talk about ministry. We do that in ministry, huh? Well, I wasn't even there in the room. Listen, if you're a leader, it became your problem. We got to be problem solvers. Hezekiah did not give excuses. He saw the problem and he began to solve the real issue of why a whole nation went astray. And at times it starts with one person. And my question here this night is, are we going astray? Because we can blame other areas, and who cares what they're doing? You can't gather, but are you still gathering with Jesus here this night? Are you still opening your Bibles and getting a hold of the presence of the Lord right there on your own? Even when we're not going live each and every single day, each and every single morning, because those are the doors that truly matter here this night. I mean, listen, we can only feed you so much. We can only teach and preach so much and try to worship so much. But until you figure out how good the Lord is personally within your life, until you truly figure out the goodness of the Lord, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Then you begin to open the doors to the temple of God. I'm going to share three things real quick that Hezekiah did in order to reopen the doors of the temple. So are you ready here this night? I hope you're taking notes. If you're taking notes, the first thing that he did to reopen the doors of the temple, and I'm going to speak about our personal lives. Hezekiah reopened the literal physical temple because that represented their form of worship at that time. But we all know that temple doesn't exist any longer. I mean, you can study all that. It means something else. But now Jesus came, and after he died and resurrected, and he sent his Holy Spirit, the Bible says now you and I are the temples of the Holy Spirit, that we're bought at a price. But again, my question is, are the doors open to the temple of the Lord in our personal lives? Real quickly, I'm going to share a few things to reopen the doors of the temple of the Lord in your personal life. How many want the temple of the Lord, the doors, to be open in your personal life? The first thing that he did is, number one, is to reopen the doors of the temple, we need to purify ourselves. To open the doors of our temple, we need to purify ourselves. Somebody say, stay pure. Amen. Touch your neighbor and ask him, are you pure? 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 4 through 7. It says, he summoned the priests and the Levites. In other words, the leadership, the people that knew better, those that were supposed to be doing good, to meet him at the courtyard east of the temple. He said to them, listen to me, you Levites. Purify yourselves and purify the temple of the Lord, the God of your ancestors. Remove all the defiled things from the sanctuary. Our ancestors were unfaithful and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They abandoned the Lord and his dwelling place. They turned their backs on him. They also shut the doors of the temple's entry room and they snuffed out the lamps. That's, keep that in mind. They stopped burning incense and presenting burnt offerings at the sanctuary of God of Israel. Now keep that in mind. It's interesting that because they didn't purify themselves, they stopped burning incense. To me, that represents the fire went out. Is the fire going out here this night within your life? Because how many truly have the fire of God within your life? How many truly say that you're able to believe in miracles here this night? How many truly believe in miracles here this night? How many can truly say, you know what? I believe in the God that I serve. I believe in the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I know the God that I serve. The Bible says that I am more than a conqueror according to him in Christ Jesus. Because that's the fire that we should all have within our lives, within our personal lives. But again, I ask you, are the doors to the temple of the Lord open within your house? Because when they're closed, the fire goes out. Listen, my friend, they stopped offering sacrifices. They stopped worshiping the Lord. There was no more fire. There was a coldness, a deadness in the temple of God. Why? They did not remain pure. Pureness is the opposite of defilement. They defiled themselves in the temple of God. And here this night, sad to say, there's too many people that are being defiled in the temple of God. Too many people that are still experimenting. Too many people that are still trying out worldly ideas and worldly music and all these things. I ask you, are you remaining pure in the temple of God here this night? I mean, a lot of us, we have families. Are we being an example? Are we being pure before our families, being pure before our neighbors, being pure before our coworkers? Purifying ourselves matters if we're trying to remain open in the temple of the Lord. Purifying ourselves truly matters if we're trying to invite the presence of God within our lives. I mean, last time I checked, I cannot do this by myself unless I have the presence of God within my life. It's important that we continue to remain pure before the Lord. Seen way too many people just drift off, go this way and that way. Why? They did not remain pure. Hezekiah knew. He saw the problem. He said, the problem is not the nation. The problem is not the army. The problem is not we don't have money. That's not the problem. The problem is the doors of the temple are closed. And he addressed the issue. Listen, this physical building can be closed, but is your spiritual building open? And he understood. He said, if we want to reopen the doors, the first thing we need to do is we need to purify ourselves. Here this night, if you still want to serve the Lord, maybe you've been having troubles or issues. Listen, my friend, God is able to forgive. The Bible says he's filled with compassion. He's slow to anger and quick to forgive. That's the God that we serve. But he's just always wanting you and I to come to the area of repentance, coming to the area of saying, God, I want to remain pure. Because if that's you here this night, he wants to reopen the doors of your temple here this night to truly serve the Lord. We need clean vessels. And it was the Levites' job to clean the temple. The Levites were the only ones allowed to carry out that assignment. They were the only ones. They themselves also needed to be right before the Lord. Listen, here this night, you are in charge of you. Simply put, you are in charge of you. Others can advise you, others can guide you, but you are responsible for your own actions. You are responsible from right now, this day, Friday, May 1st, until the end of the year, of how close you want to get to God at the end of this year. I ask you a question. Do you want to get closer to the Lord here this year? Or are you comfortable where you're at? Do you want the Lord to do great and mighty works within your life? Or are you settled right there where you're at? Because if that is you, if you want the Lord to do a greater thing or a bigger thing, listen, you are in charge of you and you are responsible for how close you get to the Lord. It doesn't matter if these doors are open. I'm asking you if your spiritual doors are open. It doesn't matter if you can't come here physically. I'm asking you if you're still connecting with the Lord spiritually here this night. Because that's what matters. And that's why keeping ourselves pure is truly important within our lives. That word purify, it simply means to make pure, such as to clear from material defilement or imperfections. In other words, getting rid, throw away those cigarettes, get rid of any old beer bottles and magazines, movies, shows, things that are not good, that are not pleasing to the Lord. We read that Hezekiah did what was pleasing. Not to Victory Outreach. He did what was pleasing to the Lord. Listen, my job is to please the Lord first. If I know that I'm pleasing God, then I'm able to get along with my pastor. But if I'm not pleasing God, you better believe I have a hard time with my pastor. Because my job is to please the Lord. It means to clear from material defilement or imperfection, to free from guilt or moral or ceremonial blemish. You got to remember, when they offered a sacrifice, it had to be pure. No blemishes. free from undesirable elements. That's what that word purify means. I was reading. I didn't want to write it down. I thought it was too much. There's a Hebrew word of that word pure. What it means is not only does it mean pure, but it was always attached to different elements such as salt or gold, because nothing else could be made up and they were the only ones of its kind. Salt can only stay salt. It cannot be anything else. Gold remained pure, refined, true to itself, unchangeable. That's the word. And that's what you and I should be, pure and unchangeable, remaining the same in the eyes of the Lord. At this time, the nation was in a spiritual decay. I mentioned earlier that they had commandments to follow. I mean, I'm here to tell you that you and I still have commandments to follow. This one's for free. Jesus said, I tell you, don't just love your neighbors, love your enemies. He said, what good is it to love those that love you back? Do not even the tax collectors do that? But I'm here to tell you, you got to love your enemies. In this, they will know you are my true disciples. I mean, that's a hard lesson to learn. But it comes from Jesus. How are we going to question the commands from the Lord? I say that just to mention, at this time, they abandoned every commandment that came from the Lord. They weren't serving at the temple anymore. They were worshiping idols. Everything and anything was taking place. They went so far as to the old king sacrificing their sons in the fire to worship another god. I mean, you turn on the news and you see all kinds of things happening in these times. You turn on the news and you ask yourself, how is that even allowed? How is that even happening? I'll tell you how. Romans chapter 1 verse 28, it says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Ask yourself, have you ever met somebody? Have you ever went there? And you have said, man, how did I ever get here? That's something sad. I pray those words never come out. But we've all found ourselves in a time and place, maybe, where we say, how did this ever happen? Or someone else is able to say, I would never believe that this would happen. It says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. In other words, they let go of the belief in the existence of God. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. It gets worse. It says their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. Catch this one. They invent new ways of sinning. And they disobey their parents. That's for all the children right there of age. Be obedient to your parents. For if you do, you will receive long years in the Lord. That's a commandment. But it says they invent new ways of sinning. I mean, I know when I was lost and bound, I mean, there was some stuff we were trying to make up just to go and have fun. But nowadays, it's like there's no limits. Nowadays, you just turn on the news and you see everything, all kinds of things that are going on. Why? That's the world we live in. That's what happens when people don't remain pure, when people don't continue to follow God's ways, when the doors of the temple are closed and they do whatever they want. The Bible says God handed them over. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking. In other words, God said, have at it. Do whatever you want. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had enough. I'm grateful that the Lord has stepped into my life. Hezekiah understood in order to fix God's house, he needed to fix their personal house. And here this night, in order to fix God's house, we need to fix our personal house. We need to reevaluate it, take an inventory, and truly ask ourselves, how is my spiritual house here this night? How is my spiritual life? How much time do I spend with the Lord? How much time do I spend reading and praying? Listen, I'm here to challenge you that do it every single day. Make it a habit. Make it a discipline. And I guarantee you will grow in the things of the Lord. I guarantee you will grow a hunger for the things of the Lord. The Bible says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. My question is, what are we hungering for here this night? Instead of TV shows and Tiger King, I have no idea what that is or how that got famous. We should make the Word of God famous. But it depends on us staying pure. The second thing that Hezekiah did, and we can learn from his number two, is to reopen the doors of our temple, we need a sacrifice. I'm going to labor on this one a little bit. To reopen the doors of our temple, we need a sacrifice. Listen, it's not a sacrifice. I'm going to just say this right now. It's not a sacrifice to tune in live at 7 p.m. We're going to go Sunday morning at 10 a.m. It's not a sacrifice to tune in. Right? If they could zoom in right now, I want them to really catch this one. That's not the sacrifice. Right? It's not even a sacrifice inviting somebody. Now we're able to see the importance of the doors being open and us coming and gathering. Now we're able to see what at times we're taking for granted, a time of worship, a time of prayer, that it may be hard to pray right there in your houses, but yet we had a time designated for prayer every Friday, every Sunday morning. Now we're able to think one way or another. We're able to think, man, I could take advantage of that time of prayer. I could take my family. I could teach others. I could learn this area of prayer. Or we could just say, I'm going to just go late. As long as I go to church or as long as I show up, listen, that is not a sacrifice. What Hezekiah understood is to reopen the doors of the temple, they needed a sacrifice. Listen, my friend, a sacrifice is something that hurts. If it doesn't hurt, then it's not a sacrifice. Someone said this a long time ago, if it means nothing to you, it means nothing to God. The more we serve the Lord, the more it will hurt. The more we serve the Lord, the more it gets personal. The more we serve, the more God asks why it's a sacrifice. I mean, even the Bible records, he sacrificed his very own son for you and I. I mean, what more do we want? How much more of a sacrifice is needed for our lives to be right? How much more of a sacrifice is needed for us to know that we have the victory in the Lord? If God himself gave the ultimate sacrifice, how much more do you and I need a sacrifice to reopen the doors of our temple? Verse 20 to 21, right there in chapter 29. It says, early the next morning, you don't have to go there, but Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, Jesus rose up early in the morning before the sun came up. That was his prayer time. I always try to study different people, their prayer times, and how much they pray, and at what time they pray. I'm real specific in this area. I try to learn as much as I can. If I meet people, I ask them, what time do you pray, and how long? And I try to learn and adapt and get all these areas. But if you break that down, if you just think about what time the sun rises, right now it's about 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, Jesus said, it says Mark 1:35, he rose up early before the sun came up. In other words, at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, Jesus was praying. That was his prayer life. Very early in the morning. I mean, what's our excuse? What's my excuse? I know I run a home, but man, I should have no excuses. Very early. That's a sacrifice. How many can say that? Waking up early, before going to work, that's a true sacrifice. Hezekiah says, very early in the morning, early the next morning, King Hezekiah gathered the city officials and went to the temple of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 male lambs, a burnt offering together with 7 male goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, for the temple. And for Judah, the king commanded the priests who were descendants of Aaron to sacrifice the animals on the altar of the Lord. In other words, he knew that first they needed to purify themselves to be able to present this sacrifice. Listen, to present a sacrifice, they needed to be right before the Lord. If we want to serve the Lord, we need to be right before the Lord, but also we need a sacrifice. Our question here this night is, what have we been sacrificing lately to the Lord? What have we been sacrificing lately to the Lord? And a phone doesn't count, right? That phone shouldn't even be taking that much of your time unless it's ministry purposes, praise God. TV, they didn't have TVs in the days of Jesus. They walked from one place to another. We read a book the other day that Jesus walked 8 hours from one town to the next just to talk to the Samaritan woman at the well. 8 hours walking. We can't even walk 20 minutes. We can't even drive 10 minutes. We start complaining, man. Well, let me move on. The Bible says early in the morning, Romans 12 verse 1, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. These are the sacrifices that need to offer. All it's saying, really, is just to serve the Lord. That's all it's really saying. It's not saying that we need to go out and damage our bodies and hurt our bodies. All it's saying is to give our lives over to God, a true sacrifice. When you study that area in the Old Testament, a sacrifice, when they brought it to the temple, it's something that had to die. It's something that once it approached the temple, it no longer was going to live. Listen, when we offer ourselves to the Lord, we have to die spiritually. The Bible says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. I've been crucified to the flesh. This body that I live now in the spirit to him who pleases God. All we're doing is we're bringing ourselves to the temple. And every time we get closer to Jesus, we should be able to say, it is no longer I who live. I'm here to die to myself. I'm here to die to my flesh. I'm here to die to my old ways of life. Why? I'm presenting myself as a sacrifice. It's no longer I who live. I no longer want to carry my old ways behind. I'm willing to be a sacrifice to the Lord. I mean, hear this. How many are willing to be a sacrifice? Everywhere you read within the Bible, you will always see there always needed to be a sacrifice. I love that portion of scripture when God spoke to Abraham. It's the same thing. God said, Abraham, it says sometime later. In other words, you will be tested. If you're going through something here this night, rejoice, the Bible says, and be glad. Because you are being tested. Consider it all joy when going through these trials. He said sometime he called Abraham. Abraham didn't hide. He didn't say, call the other person and call this leader and that's not my ministry. He said, yes, God. And he told them, take your son, your only son, to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham understood there needed to be a sacrifice. What is our sacrifice? What is it that's too hard that we're not willing to give up? What is it maybe personally that the Lord is asking of you? Some he may be asking for a lot. A phone, another year in the home, that just comes up every time. It's not, I do not want to say that. Some are just asking, spend a whole another year in the home. It's a sacrifice. If it doesn't hurt, it's not a sacrifice. It's a reward that we got to look at. If it comes from God, how great is the reward? Some the Lord may be asking sacrifice and that relationship is not good for you. And you know it. And you've been there for a while and you're debating. But yet are you willing to follow the Lord's commands? Jesus said that portion of scripture, if you don't love me more than father or mother, I mean, that's a heavy scripture. So then you're not worthy to be my disciple. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are not my words. He says whoever loves this life will lose it in the life to come. But whoever loses their life will save it for eternity. Why? We're following the Lord. I was reading, and every time you see people trying to follow the Lord, it wasn't easy. Jesus said, I mean, foxes have dens, birds have nests. I have nowhere to lay my head. I'm not going to a comfortable place. I'm not going to a hotel. Do you still want to follow? It was a sacrifice. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, I love this verse. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still yet powerless, I think there's another translation, powerless, sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for you and I. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 reads, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And I just want to make mention, that is the sacrifice that the Lord made for you and I. I mean, whatever we're going through, I want you to really wrap your mind around this one. Because at times, we think a trial is too big, a storm is too long, and we don't understand, and we want to have all the revelation and all the understanding, and all we need to understand here this night is at just the right time. When you and I did not have our lives together, I mean, sad to say, we're still not going to have our lives together. That's when Jesus stepped into the picture. That's when Jesus decided to step into our lives. Is that sacrifice not worth our following who he is? Is that sacrifice not enough for what he has to offer within our lives? Because that's the sacrifice that Jesus paid. And Hezekiah understood in order to repair the temple doors, there must be a sacrifice. Even King David is the one that said, I will not give to the Lord what costs me nothing. And listen, here this night, I believe that too many are not willing to pay a sacrifice. I truly believe that too many are just willing to follow. Just when it's easy, just when it's comfortable. And they yelled at me and they rebuked me. And I'm not going to, you know, follow. I'm leaving the church. We're not leaving the church. We're leaving Jesus. I mean, you know, me crossing the line or whatever, praise God. Some people go from here to there and there, this church, that church, you know. I'm going to challenge you, stay rooted to Jesus. Wherever you go, what is it? Someone once said, you will run into you. That's the problem. And because we don't purify ourselves, we close the temple of the Lord and we really don't want to admit that we are the problem. I someone said a long time ago, I heard this and I try to apply it personally, but they said, I look in the mirror. This person was speaking. He said, I look in the mirror and I ask myself if I see Jesus. Because that's what others should see. Here this night, go look in the mirror, right? And check out your hair, right? The women that didn't do their eyebrows. And ask yourself, is there Jesus in our lives? Are we purifying ourselves? Are we still willing to offer a sacrifice? It's not a sacrifice to come early to church. It's not a sacrifice to tithe. We should want to tithe. It's not a sacrifice to serve the Lord. We should want to serve the Lord. To sacrifice once we start getting closer, once we start getting committed, and the Lord starts working deeper and closer, and he starts asking things that make no sense. It didn't make any sense to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham understood who his God was. Did it make no sense for David to go around hiding in caves, being chased away at the point of death, though he was anointed the next king? It didn't make no sense, but it was a sacrifice. Did it make any sense for Joseph to be in a pit for 2 years? We're in our comfortable living rooms, hearing the gospel, and at times we weren't at church? Oh man, that's, praise God, let me move on to that one. Sacrifice. It's something that we can never get away from. I mean, I even ask myself at times, I don't want to get comfortable. I even tell myself, I'm getting ready to go to another level. And I ask myself, truly, have I sacrificed enough? Because I know that I can always sacrifice more. I look at the examples of my pastors and my leaders and how much they've sacrificed. To this day, my pastor's still sacrificing. I mean, how dare not I sacrifice? They're still paying the price. Why? There's a sacrifice. There's always a price to pay. But are we willing to pay the price to have the doors of the temple open? I'm not speaking about these doors. I'm speaking about your personal doors. I'm speaking about our personal lives. Are we willing to pay that sacrifice? Some, the Lord has been waking you up and waking you up early to pray. It's a sacrifice. Some, the Lord has been removing things out of your life for you to spend time with the Lord. Ask yourself. It's always a sacrifice. We would either, I came to understand this one. We will either pay a sacrifice to the enemy, or we will pay a sacrifice to the Lord. The choice is truly ours. We're going to sacrifice one way or the other. That's why Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You better choose. Because that's to say, we're going to serve another master. We heard a great teaching the other night, and it's true. Someone will be our master. We will serve something else. Whether it's a person, him or her, drugs again, TV, whatever the master is, ourselves, and we will sacrifice to that area. I choose to sacrifice to the Lord. How many want to sacrifice to the Lord here this night? Amen. The last thing I'm going to share, and I believe if the worship team is just able to make their way, the last thing that Hezekiah did and that we can do to reopen the doors of our temple is not only do we have to purify ourselves, and not only do we have to reopen, or not only do we have to sacrifice to reopen the doors of our temple, but the last one is an important one. To reopen the doors of our temple, there must be praise in our lives. How many like to praise the Lord here this night? How many just like to shout to Jesus here this night, right there in your living room? How many are not excited to say praise the Lord? How many are not excited to say thank you, Jesus? How many can get loud right there in your very own houses just to say thank you, Lord? Just to be grateful of what the Lord has done within your life. How many can just shout and say thank you, Lord, for stepping into my life? There has to be a shout within your life to reopen the temple of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 27 through 30. I'm going to come to a closing. Then Hezekiah ordered that the burnt offering be placed on the altar. As the burnt offering was presented, songs of praise to the Lord were begun, accompanied by trumpets and other instruments of David, the former king of Israel. It says the entire assembly worshiped the Lord. The entire assembly, not just the worship team. Not just our pastor's wife who comes and is a true sacrifice every Friday and every Sunday to worship, to present herself as a living sacrifice throughout the midst of all that they go through. They still present themselves faithful to lead us in an area of worship. The worship team still comes faithfully, sacrificing no matter what they go through, how much the enemy hits them. Why? To praise the Lord, the entire assembly. It means you and I have to learn how to praise the Lord if we want our doors open in the temple of God. How many want your personal doors open for the Lord to continue and move? The entire assembly worshiped the Lord. As the singers sang, the trumpets blew until all the burnt offerings were finished. What does that mean? They just sang to the Lord. They rejoiced in the Lord. And here this night, that's what we need to do. Because too many people are just speaking about the virus, speaking about negativity, speaking about this, and not ever speaking about the goodness of God. I mean, I want to talk to somebody who has something good to say about who God is. I wanted to speak to somebody who has something good to say about what the Lord has done within their life. The last thing they needed to do was a praise to worship the Lord. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 100, verse 4. I'm going to run through these fast. It's okay if you don't keep up. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. In other words, it's not what you feel like. It's not, let me go to church and see if they make me feel good. Let me see if I get a good word. No, their mind was set to enter already with thanksgiving. Their mind was set to go already with praise. Their mind was set and knowing who God was. Because of that, they already entered the first thing they did, they entered with thanksgiving. Psalms 98:1, it says, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. Has the Lord not been good within our lives? Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2, shout for joy to the Lord. It says, all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. How? With all wisdom through psalms, through hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Amen. Right there where we are, just go ahead and stand in your houses. And here this night, we're going to worship the Lord, but I don't want the worship team just to sing. I want you to sing right there in your houses. If you want to reopen the doors to the temple of the Lord, and even if your doors are open, well, then keep them open and continue to invite the presence of God. Listen, it's not about how good they sing or what song it is. It's how good is the song in your heart. How much do you love Jesus? Are you willing to praise the Lord? Are we ashamed? Are we embarrassed? I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. As they sing the psalm, we're going to continue to worship the Lord. And that's how we're going to finish. To reopen our personal lives. And right there where you're at, don't be ashamed. Close your eyes. Do what you need to do to open those doors of the temple. Hallelujah, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord, here this night, yes, Lord, some of you just need to lift your hands and close your eyes, yes, Lord, some of you may need lead your family in worship here this night, yes, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you may need to kneel before the presence of God. What matters is open your heart to the Lord here this night. Yes, Lord. Ask Him to purify your life. Present yourself as a sacrifice to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Don't be afraid to worship. Don't be afraid to shout to Jesus. Some of you need to say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.